they got on their feet like
yes.
that. And that would fit in with all the sort of practical abilities she had, and also the very close partnership with Horton, which seems to have worked awfully well from an organisational point of view. So that's her great moment, really. You know, main reason why she interests me a lot. But I wondered really about her Jewishness. I mean, what attitude did she take to the Franklin Orthodox Jewish attitude? I mean, was she anti?
Yes. Of course, and you know, when you're with somebody who's Orthodox, you go along with what they're doing. You don't cook that way yourself, or whatever it is. The family have always been sort of wide-ranging. Let's see, Jack married out. Alice was agnostic, I think. My father became a reformer, and I'm more or less agnostic. Hugh married out. Helen married Norman Bentwich, who was an ardent Zionist, but was, you know, sort of rather liberal.
Mm.
And Ellis started a new heresy. you've heard about a man called Rabbi Jacobs.
No, I'm afraid I have, but I'm not
aware of this. This was in the sort of 60s. He was being groomed to become chief rabbi, but he, along with Ellis Franklin, started a society for the study of Jewish theology. And the great thing about Judaism is that God exists, God is there, you mustn't ask questions about him. So there's no Jewish theology. And this got to the ears of those powerful in Judaism, English Jewry, particularly people like Wolfson, and the poor sort of crown prince, for being the chief rabbi, was slung out and had to go and start a sort of new sect, which flourishes.
And Ellis was...
Ellis was, you know, the prime mover of that, and so was his widow for years.
Mm.
And, particularly synagogue in St. John's Wood.
Mm. So Ellis, presumably to be, as you call it...
But you see, you can be religiously Jewish, you can be racially Jewish, you can take it Zionistically Jewish, you can take it in all sorts of ways.
Yeah, yes. But in terms of actual formal religious practice, she'd given it up.
I think so.
Hmm. I was really wondering, see, could you be, as you put it, agnostic without being rather obviously militant about it at that time?
You'd be agnostic without being atheist very easily.
Hmm. Yes.
I mean, how militant an act is it to go and fry a piece of bacon?
Hmm.
For some people, it's exceedingly militant.
Well, in a sense, she was taking quite a stand by teaming up with Horton, who was not Jewish.
Mm.
And in the terms of her father, this was quite a step.
Well, even actually sharing a house with somebody who's not a Jew is unsatisfactory.
In his terms.
I see, yes, I hadn't thought of that, yes. That's interesting, yes. But anyway, she cut herself off from that side of the Franklin family, that aspect of the family.
Well, from one bit of the family, see, because it was already very...
Mm.
Took a lot of different lines.
Mm. Mm. So how important do you think that was to her feminism? You see, I mean, could one link her anti-Jewishness with all the subordination of women that's involved in Orthodox Jewish attitudes at that time?
Her mother, after all, was a fairly advanced, one might say, liberated woman. She was responsible for sort of initiating education in Buckinghamshire sort of turn of the century. Although she was very anti-suffragette, taking, you know, the normal liberal view.
Yes.
I've always suffered from, you know, sort of liberated women.
Well, I was going to say that you made a rather curious statement, I thought, about Jewish women, because in fact they have a very powerful position in the family.
Yes, But surely in a very traditional, non-political way, that is, they are the matriarchs of the family, and their sphere is the family, rather than public life. Isn't that so? I mean, women
have... Yes, but there's no particular objection to their stepping outside that and still keeping their
into philanthropy, into charity or good works.
Well, perhaps
yes, so then that can easily move over, you see, into other kinds of...
Or even into politics.
...public occupation, yes, without any difficulty, really.
Mm. Mm.
I wouldn't see any conflict there at all.
Mm. Well, of course, I don't see any conflict, and I don't think the suffragettes did, because they regarded, well, the suffragists, because they regarded the vote as a sort of aid to philanthropic activity. But a lot of people did see a disjunction between the two at the time. The connection seems obvious to us. There was the sphere of, the sense, requiring women's qualities like compassion or, in a sense, soft emotional qualities, that is, family life, charity and all those things. And there's the hard life of fighting and politics and money-making, which is the male life. And you can have plenty of power in the women's sphere, but that doesn't necessarily entail on this sort of on an antiquated set of ideas, political power at all. But obviously she's in the generation where that sort of polarity is breaking down rather fast.
I think you could probably even earlier have found a great range of attitudes in the Jewish community to what was expected of women. The Rothschild women had been very emancipated much earlier, really.
Mm. Mm. Yes, but in fact, am I right in saying that her mother was, however emancipated by the standards of the day, pretty much kept under her husband's thumb at home.
Sit here, carry the draft. Sorry, you've heard that first?
No.
No. Oh, well, it's a favourite family saying that he used to say to his wife, sit here, carry the draft. Block him.
So as he was very much, in a sense, the centre of things, and
he felt
involved round
yes.
him.
Yes.
Hmm. Well, that again, I suppose, would reinforce her resentment, I presume, the way her father behaved. Not only treating her badly, but her mother badly. Was she, in fact, very close to mother? I suppose you're a bit too young to...
Her mother died when I was seven. I just couldn't say.
Yes. How did she strike you then, coming into the family, Alice? I mean, as a person, did she seem to you one of the attractive features of the Franklin family?
Mm, definitely, because I found some of them very stuffy, really, and difficult. She very much liked to put herself on the side of young people when she could. And she was very easy to talk to and lively, you know.
Mm. About what? I mean, what sort of things did she talk about to you much? I mean, politics, or was she interested in
yes.
politics much?
Oh, yes. Yes, politics, social questions. I can't really remember. I just remember having long, very interesting discussions with her. It's a long while ago now.
Mm.
She was staunch member of the Labour Party.
Yes. So was Mamie, of course, wasn't she?
Oh, good Lord, yes. She was a part of
Jack. So how did they relate to each other, Mamie and Alice? And what was their relationship with each other? Were they in any sense in a position of rivalry or competition? Or?
Well, Mamie was very much, you know, sort of a high-powered LCC party hack.
Mm.
Whenever you suggested anything that wasn't in the line of the party, or whatever the party had made a mistake or something, it was always justified in the usual party ways. And she was, as I remember, I once sent her as a messenger to deliver some flowers and strawberries to you, and she met your mother at the front door, and Jules' mother was a battle axe too, and the governor of LCC school, and they're 5 minutes again for one another hammer and tongs. But I seem to remember some minor jealousy, thought they got on. I don't know. It's very difficult to say. Mamie was very much
much the little sister, you know. And her doings observed with a certain sort of... you know. Older sisterly eye.
Did Alice actually take an interest in your children very much?
No, not at all.
I suppose they were really...
Too many generations down.
Yeah, yes. Though I think she took an interest in Ursula's children a bit.
Yes, well, Ursula is much closer.
Yes, but then they're about... Ursula, and anyway, the children... Ursula's about 10, 12 years...
Yes, yes.
...ahead, you see, it makes quite a difference.
Yes. Yes, no, you're bearing out pretty well everything that I've been told with some nice embellishments, actually.
Well,
what did she look like, actually, Alice?
Oh, I don't know if I don't have any photos of her here. I think I've got another box of photos upstairs. Must be where Tom's here.
Well, she was sort of cropped and nanny, she's putting it too strongly. So. Certainly she didn't dress in at all a feminine kind of way.
An equal woman, as something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but it didn't strike her like that, you know, because cropped at that stage was quite noticeable.
Yes, yes, yes. But not elegant or feminine in the conventional...
No.
Oh, certainly not.
No. See if I can find any photos of her.
And did you feel she was diffident in relation to your academic sort of attainments? Well, after all, she hadn't had a university education, you very much had. And did you feel that at all? Or didn't it really impinge?
I don't think so.
Because one does get the feeling with her, Mrs. Horton told me this as well as other people, that she has got a feeling, a sort of a slight feeling of being inferior and very educational.
She has a very 1920s-ish photo of Alice.
Oh, yes.
No, I wouldn't have recognised it.
Just rather an outdoor girl.
Well, she's in her cottage at Brasted.
Yeah.
Didn't know she had one.
She was very popular in the Townsmen's Guild, there's no doubt about that. I mean, the old ones still talk about her with affection.
She was very nice.
If you're still doing it, I'll go and rummage upstairs and find those other boxes, that is.
Do if you can. I mean, if it's not.
I can look in the attic. I might even go up that
way. Darling, can you wear an overall?
So she looks a rather sort of fresh, lively person here. Yeah. But the references to Horton's husband and so on were quite a family joke, I guess, from Colin Franklin. And he was never referred to by his Christian name at all, it was just Horton's husband.
Yes. There's this curious shadow.
May I look through the rest of these? I'm just to get.
Of course, any of them is what Norman brought them down for.
She's not taking.